There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 943, June 13th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Kablamo from Maranello. Max goes woohoo in Baku. Oh, what a feeling for Toyota at Le Mans. And Mario Pio at Toto. We shall explain all of this gladly. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Toyota wins easily at Le Mans. Ferrari needs an exorcism. Toto says these new F1 cars are not good, blames the FIA. Newgarden wins at Road America, and Suarez on top at Sonoma. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the F1 Weekly front page. You know you want to. And I want to thank Gary Patrick for your contribution. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. There you have it, Nas. Welcome to the studio. How you been, buddy?
Well, when there is motor racing on a weekend, I'm all smiles. So I've been doing very good. Thank you for asking. How is the host with the most on the left coast?
Well, it was a weekend to behold. I mean, we had Baku, we had Le Mans, we had Road America, and we had your favorite, Sonoma.
Indeed, indeed. And Road America, unfortunately, I've never been there, but it is, I think, the best track in the U.S. And I've said this many times over the years on the podcast that as it is, of course, it does not meet the FIA requirements for Formula One racing, but the layout as it is, it's much better than most of the circuits on the calendar these days. Just a beautiful track. And I really, really like the portion that at the start that goes up, just like the old Oosterreichring. That is just beautiful. But, and of course, we had Le Mans 24-hour races. I miss Alonso winning that race for the third time. And then, of course, the big cheese, Formula Uno. Great expectations. Ferrari on pole at a track where they have never won. Charles Leclerc looking for his first win since Albert Park, which is pretty amazing. There were some expectations, and I had quite a few of those, that Senor Carlos Sainz Jr. will finally come through from the second row and get his first ever win. It turned out to be a sad song. Smoke gets in your eyes when your engine is on fire. And I can see championship number DOS in Max's eyes. Impressive getaway from Sergio Perez to grab the lead at the start. And the new number one at Mercedes was once again on the podium. So dishes are done. But for me, driver of the day after 51 hot laps of the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, for not going into the wall of voodoo at Baku and giving Gunther Steiner another major headache, that driver will be Mick Schumacher. And Mr. Rogers, before we look into Colli and get into nitty-gritty details of the race, may we have a few comments from the Escargot Gallery.
Well, great start from Perez. I mean, he's on fire. He's all pumped up. He's up there fighting for the championship. So his start was awesome. The Ferraris, they could have had a better start, but they kept up with the Red Bulls. At least Leclerc did. But It looked like eventually Max was going to pounce and get around Leclerc. But then, you know, I just can't believe it. Both Ferraris DNF. It's still a little early in the championship, but by now you really need to get this stuff sorted. But they admit they prefer straight line performance over reliability, which is a very European way of thinking and not very Japanese at all or German. So there you go. A lot of marinara. And sometimes you add a little fromage.
Si, senor. Okay, sir, before Kali, you know, the main talking point now, buzzword is bouncing in Baku. And this is what George Russell said after Friday practice, and I quote, "I can't imagine that we want to keep driving like this for the next 4 years," end of quote. And of course, nobody was expecting the once all-conquering Silver Arrows to be on the front row or anywhere near. But this bouncing issue is becoming really a big headache for a lot of people. You know, amazingly, Daniel Ricciardo, after the race, I watched the interview on TV, and he was talking about, he said, "I had very little, but it was," he said, "I was rattled." That was the word he used. He said it was like somebody pounding on your helmet. And then, I have to tell you, according to Mr. Toto Wolff, they are now lobbying for some rule changes so they can, you know, do some changes to the car. And according to Toto, keep in mind, one of his drivers is Lewis Hamilton. I think anybody can guess who anywhere in this world, that of the 20 drivers, 19 are supporting him and one is not. And who could that be, Mr. Rogers?
Ooh, and is he muy machismo with the camping chair industry?
CP2, engines. CP2.
Yes, he is. It's karma that you knew the answer. But that's the way it goes. So let's take a look at Q1. From the Why Am I Not Surprised folder, we have Stroll lancing his Aston Martin into the wall. He and Latifi should really get high on maple leaf syrup and go race in some other series. F1 has been too Canada dry for them. Fourth successive pole for Mr. Leclerc, number 6 of the season from 8 starts. Man, 6 pole position and the man has not won a race since Australia. That's pretty sad. Perez again doing a Georgie on Maxi. Both AlphaTauris were in Q3 and both McLarens were not, which was kind of a surprise. I was expecting at least Lando Norris to slip by. The loneliness of the long-distance runner. Nando is back on the winning track in his own special way. In Baku, he took part in his 342nd Grand Prix, which will put the Alpine driver just 8 races short of Kimi Raikkonen's record of 350 starts in F1, a milestone that should be passed by the Asturian driver by the end of the season. What a wonderful feeling it would have been if he was reaching that milestone and we were reporting on it on our 1,000th podcast. And Mr. Rogers, thanks to all the listeners and familiar members of F1 Weekly, without their support, this will not be going on since 2005. We have to do something special for the 1,000 podcast. I'm totally committed to either doing it from Brooklyn, Silverstone, something very Monza. You know, it has to be something very special, and hopefully we can get some. Anybody is welcome to join that party, but hopefully some of the listeners will be able to join and we can do a podcast. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we can request Peter Windsor to be our special guest. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something, but I would shoot for a little higher. Fernando and Machismo is our guest.
Oh, you know, another thing we can do from his museum in Oviedo, España.
Perfect. That is the climax of my life.
This will be sometime in 2023, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I know a few people in Formula One, and maybe I can see if they can cooperate and we can maybe have a very special guest on the show. But we'll see. Dreams are good. You know what I'm saying? If you dream a million dreams, at least one of them will come true. Okay, sir. Anything you liked or did not like in college?
I loved every minute of it. It was exciting. You know me, and I like Baku. I wish I could go to Baku and just hang out.
Yeah, apparently the track is very impressive, and of course this country is oil rich. So at least area around it is very, very impressive, as they were showing on the aerial photographs. And by the way, I listened to the first time for me. I'm a big fan of music, as you know, just like you. That Azerbaijan national anthem was a very nice tune. Azerbaijan! But at least the tune was very nice. And they had very good shashlik, and I'm a big fan of shashlik. Available everywhere in Istanbul, and you can get that even at the Munich airport. That's the beauty of globalization. Okay, sir, as far as the race is concerned, this was a sad scene. You know, I'm a fan of racing, not one particular driver or hate mail for another. Lap 3, a sad, sad scene. George running in 5th, which is business as usual by now, but his teammate is running 7th behind Gasly in AlphaTauri. And Ben Edwards, one of the commentators on the F1 broadcast, and I like his style very much, said that the pace of Gasly's AlphaTauri will make it very difficult for Lewis to pass, which beckons the question, how low and slow can you go toe-toe? And I think Lewis, you know, I would not say this after round 2 or 3, but now we've gone 8 races, all sorts of tracks. I think Lewis now has a bigger problem than bouncing. It's called Boy George on the other side of the garage. What is your take on the LCH situation and the performance by George being on the podium?
Well, it was a classic. I mean, you had the young whippersnapper who's hungry, very articulate, kicking ass, basically with complete crap as a car. And you have Lewis. He could barely get out of his car. His physio handed him a cane, and he wobbled away, and he had his hand on his back. That was it. You had young, and you had old. You know, the young people, they can take the bouncing, but the old people, not so much, except for El Macho, apparently the acorn-fed pigs that provide El Jamón, is some kind of encouraging for the back and the skeletal structure. I have no idea.
Alonso came in Formula One in 2001. That's 21 years ago. That's amazing. And Lewis came in 2007. And that's also a very, very long time at the top level of Formula One. Wow, that's a very, very impressive things. But I think what we're seeing here at Mercedes for sure is changing of the guard. The change has taken place faster than I thought. But we've always loved cage rattling. What would be very, very interesting is once they sort out that problem, the problem of bouncing may not be solved this year 100%, but sooner or later they will become competitive. And once both Lewis and George are in competitive cars, then I would like to see what the situation is. And if George Russell keeps the upper hand, then it's all over for Lewis. Because then there will be no need for them to pay him $45 million where they can bring in another whippersnapper for $5 million. What say you?
You're absolutely right. And the salary cap, the driver's cap, the team cap, there's a lot of cap conversation, especially over at Toto and Horner and people. Steiner can't afford another crash because his cap is capped. It's fascinating, I'm telling you. It's like the NFL all over again. But we'll see what happens. I mean, the big teams will always be big teams. The small teams will always be small teams. I don't care who you're capping. They're providing money in some weird, discreet way. People are sneaky, and that's just the way it is.
Oh, yes, and they have so much wind tunnels and CFD facilities, tracks. That's what I've always said, you know, if Mercedes or Honda or any other team, you know, that Omega, you know, Matra, they were testing, when they came out with their sports car, their special request, they were testing their cars on French highways at night. And then they found out that, I think it was that Ford Motor or GM has a huge oval track for testing. So they brought those cars here. So they can go anywhere they want. And in this day and age, there are so much alliances between Mercedes and Renault and Honda and GM and this and that. So sneakiness is part of the game, especially in the world of racing. So moving back to the track, lap 9, again from the Why Am I Not Surprised folder of the Sainz saga continues. At least this time it was not of his making. This is the third DNF of the season for the Spanish driver. Now the blame game will be played in the kitchen, or as the paisan would say, cucina. Before retiring due to hydraulic issues, Carlito had come on the team radio and said, Red Bull looked quick. And he was right. Max was about 8 miles per hour faster than Leclerc on the straight. Now, him going, first I thought he had made a mistake, but I'm glad it was not his mistake. Did that surprise you, sir?
Well, like you, I first thought it was a mistake, but then when he sat, I don't know, it looked like a mental mistake. But as he sat there and then we realized the car had marinara sauce in the oil pump, so it was over. But yeah, fascinating. And then for Leclerc to blow up a little later on, there it was. Ferrari culture, spaghetti culture. We're getting a full whiff of quality spaghetti cucina.
Yeah, you know, lap 10, Ferrari brought Leclerc for tire change while the Red Bull stayed out. And surprise, surprise, it was a slow stop. And I was thinking perhaps Pasta was being prepared when he came into the pits. But lap 15, normal service restored, Max leading a Red Bull 1-2. But what was interesting was, you know, the message, no fighting. So that was a smart move because Red Bull has seen some infighting at this track and it did not end very well for the team. Now, lap 20, Scuderia Ferrari introduced a new model called SFMK, MK for Mosquito Killer. Big Cablamo from Maranello. And this pretty much, for me, saying arrivederci to the championship. And in a day or two, we will find out if Male will again get the blame. Remember last time they had a done blowed up, they blamed Male pistons?
Yep, because it's funny, because I use Male pistons in my cars and very reliable.
Yeah, quality German product, huh? They have a big operation. When I went to the Mercedes Museum in Stuttgart, you know, I made a wrong turn and there was a huge Male facility right next to it. Interesting. And I can now hear Mr. Christian Horner saying, Max, you are a two-time world champion, just like Machismo. Hopefully with better decision-making, but his decision is already made. He's going to stay with Red Bull for the rest of his F1 career, and then he's going to walk away from Formula One. That's what he has declared. So, you know, we wish him all the best. You know, interestingly, there have been 6 races, and Max is the 6th different winner in as many races. So, no, we don't have a repeat winner. Winning the race by 20 seconds over teammate is the biggest winning margin in Azerbaijan Grand Prix brief history. 5th successive win for Red Bull, and this is where they're killing Ferrari. And win number 5 from 8 races for the Dutch master. His career total now is 25, same as Jim Clark. This guy, and you know, we've had 8 races, he has 5 wins. Well, he's going to have about 12. Man, if he wins 15 races, that will make me very happy. I just want to see new and new achievements. I don't care who does it. So how many races will he have to win this year before Mr. Rogers start calling him lucky?
Well, he's pretty lucky already. I mean, Perez could have decided to fight, but no, he's a team player right now. And how lucky can you get? A double DNF from Ferrari? Yes, don't worry. And I'm telling you, LCH is looking around, he's checking his wallet, asking, what the hell happened to my luck? Because, you know, it's sometimes a cliff. You know, they don't realize. Sometimes they think it tapers off like an old soldier, and you just sort of fade away, like MacArthur said. But sometimes it's abrupt, and it hurts a little bit. Right down here, I think it's L4 and L5.
Oh, absolutely. You know, even as a race fan, it hurts, you know. Like I said, you know, I don't think any serious race fan is taking joy in seeing Alonso fighting for 9th or 10th, or Lewis trying to pass Yuki Tsunoda lap after lap. So, but that's the way it is. What goes around comes around. That's why it is important, you know, when you get your opportunity, make the most of it. You know, when Gerhard Berger won his first race in Mexico 1986, and I've heard him say this many times, Keke Rosberg, I think, was also on the podium. And Keke said to him, enjoy this as much as you want. These days don't come too often. And of course, when you become teammate to Senna, the reality sinks in. But these things happen. But you know, Mr. Rogers, going back to Max, apart from Bahrain in Australia, where he did not finish, Monte Carlo was the only podium where he was not on top step. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, to beat Max to the championship, you need a car that is half a second faster and reliable. Otherwise, he will hunt you down one way or the other. Max is now leading the championship with 150 points. His teammate, Checo, is second on 129. And you know, I read somewhere that since, I think, Australia, there has been an 80-point swing Max's favor. That's like about 16 points per race. So they have, I really thought somewhere near the halfway season he would catch up. But they've turned this Bismarck and turned it into a torpedo boat, you know. So that's the way it is sometimes. Very impressive, though. Checo, Sergio Perez was second. Jumping Leclerc at the start was very impressive, and he looked like in control. And I was thinking, as long as he has a red car behind him, he can go all the way two in a row. He said there was some miscommunication with the team regarding pit stop. But this time he was not PO in finishing second. We now have a more humane and PC version of Fernando is faster than you. Now you say, no fighting, please. I don't think they said the word please, but no fighting gets the message. But Checo set the fastest lap on his way to second place finish. This was his fifth podium finish of the season. Any chance Checo can win the championship? I mean, anything is possible, but realistically you think he will win the championship? Or as some would say, would Red Bull allow him to win the championship?
I think Red Bull would allow him to win the championship if something just bad happened and there were a number of DNFs at Max's side of the garage. But right now, this is still Max's team. He's the dude. But Perez is putting on a good show for everybody and for Mexico.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, having followed his career from his Formula BMW days, it's really a lesson to all racers out there that if you hang in there and just keep yourself working. You know, he does not do silly things at the tracks. You know, he's not getting involved in silly off-track news or this and that. He's a pretty family-oriented guy. So I'm very happy for him. I never thought with the performance he had that in Junior Formula, including Hapedos GP2, that he will make it to Formula 1 and let alone become a bona fide Formula 1 driver. So kudos to Kiddo from Guadalajara. Good. That's very good for him. Okay, sir. George Russell came in third. This is his third podium this season and second in last three races, which is very impressive considering all the complaints you're hearing about bouncing in the Mercedes car. Before the race, George said he was expecting to have a win by now. He did not know No side pod means no top step of the podium. The young whippersnapper is also complaining of W13 acting like Jumping Jack Flash, but is handling it better than LCH. One thing for sure, he is doing a hammer time on Hamilton. The 7-time world champion had to fight the likes of Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda to be the first driver off the podium. Time will tell if he will retain his record of winning at least one race every season, which I would love to see him do because that's a very impressive feat. Lewis called it my most painful race. Immediately after the race, there were reports quoting Toto Wolff that his ace, now off the pace, may miss Montreal because of back pain courtesy of bouncing in Baku. But today I read that Lewis has said no matter what, he will be in Montreal, which is good news. And some of us will remember the 2007 season. Mr. Rogers, Montreal is the place where LCH scored his first pole position and victory. And just in case he cannot race in Canada for one reason or another, Toto will have to select between his two reserve drivers, Nyck de Vries and Stoffel Vandoorne. Just in case he cannot race, who would you like to see there? Nyck de Vries or Stoffel Vandoorne? Or Susie Wolff?
Susie Wolff, for sure.
And Toto can say, we have hired her. Actually, you know what he should do? He should put Susie Wolff, and for that race, hire Claire Williams as the PR person.
But Susie would have to take her wedding ring off.
No, she would be just the press person and sing all the phrases that she used to sing about Chinook Nesani and Nicholas Latifi and whoever, Sergei Sirotkin. Oh, boy. Okay, sir, moving on. Going down the field, Pierre Gasly was fifth. First time he finished in the points since Australia. In other words, first time in the last five races. This with the same engine as in Mothership, which is kind of surprising for me. His AlphaTauri teammate was outside the points after suffering issues with his rear wing. Part of the wing plate was missing, and it looked like a scene from NASCAR when they were solving the issue with duct tape. And I just wonder if F1 teams bring a baseball bat with them to a Grand Prix weekend. And that is a sight to behold when they do that in NASCAR. Your thoughts on the winglet and the Japanese piglet?
Well, it's interesting that AlphaTauri and Red Bull have had this DRS wing issue, flapping when it's not. The one on AlphaTauri where it broke in half, I don't know, but they need to go out to their wing factory and have a few words with the guy that's running it. Yeah, very peculiar, but who knows? But I like the duct tape. It's like Le Mans, 1945. You're making sure everything is right on the money.
Okay, Gasly's name is now being mentioned as the replacement for Daniel Ricciardo at McLaren. I think by Monza we will have a better idea of what's happening at McLaren for 2023. One time, wunderkind and love child of a lot of people, especially Dr. Marco, Sebastian Vettel was sixth for Aston Martin. This was his third point-scoring finish of the season. Now, this is just a personal opinion. While Lewis Hamilton is working hard to impress everyone with his wardrobe, looks like Seb is trying to do the same with his hairdo and beard. Of course, both of them have their own agenda, which they are pushing. Perhaps they can start a new F1 club called, and you know, there's a GPDA, his and Lewis's club could be called MLC, Misery Loves Company, and they can invite the hombre who finished 7th, Machismo. His teammate Esteban Ocon was also in the points in 10th, so it's good to see all this Bernie calling you.
Yeah, don't worry, I messaged him.
Great. Okay, you know, I was expecting a little bit more machismo-ness from the Alpine team. They don't even look like, in terms of performance, a factory-backed effort. And I know last year you were very down on them. What's your take this season?
Full disappointment. It's not the Renault of Benetton days. It's not the Renault Mile 7 with Flavio. There is just no leadership and hunger in that company. I know it's a new world order. I know everything sucks in the automotive industry. I understand all that. But maybe we should go backwards. You know, sometimes you need to step back and say, whoa, that was the wrong turn over in Albuquerque. We should have made a left. No, I'm very disappointed. I'm crying. And not only that, but Fernando, I'm sure this is his last year. People are talking about him going to Aston for what? To teach Stroll how to make a good paella. Mamma mia. It's the end of the world, Nas. With inflation and everything else, I'm having a hard time accepting it all.
Yes. The McLaren boys were 8th and 9th, Ricciardo ahead of Norris. Lando was a little upset that late in the race he was told to hold position. But, after the race he was pretty cool. Okay, sir, now we look at some guys and some people and some situation and those who are checking into Heartbreak Hotel in Baku. You know, wherever Formula One goes, they have a requirement that you should have either a DNF chapel or a Heartbreak Hotel. So, there is a Heartbreak Hotel in Baku. Okay, Charles Leclerc, he checked into that. He is now third in the championship with 116 points. Second DNF in three races. Started the season with two wins in the first three races, but now desperately seeking success since Australia. But still the king of qualifying. He said, and I quote, "It feels bad. It hurts. It is more than significant. I don't really have the words. It is just a huge disappointment, and I hope we can jump back from it and be on top of those things," end quote. How would, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate his chances of winning the world championship?
I'd still put him way up there, 7.5 or 8, because of how well he's driving. I mean, it's reliability that's, and, well, ineptness and spaghetti culture, but he knows, and he's got a good relationship with the familia over at Italy, but he knows he needs reliability. They've got to pick it up, and I think Benito is going to do everything he possibly can, but there's also talk about maybe Lewis Hamilton going over to Ferrari and replacing Sainz. Could that light a little fire under his culo, but not too much fire because L4 and L5 are swollen and hurting. So, no, it's crazy out there, Nas. I'm telling you, this new world order is killing me.
Well, you know, I would rate his chances at about 6, and mostly because of the situation at Ferrari, team mistakes, not being very reliable. But, you know, all the talk people have early in the season, oh, the rivalry is so humane. It's not like Max and Lewis. Now that Charles Leclerc is chasing Max with a lead, I would like to see what happens if he wins a couple of races and then it's like a battle in races. Then we will see how much room Max would give him. It's going to be just like Brazil last year. And that's what we want from racing drivers. We don't want drivers on this program, no fighting. We want fights and battles as long as they are not ambushed. But time will tell. Now, Andrew Benson, who is a reporter for BBC on Formula One, he wrote that Charles Leclerc's championship challenge with Ferrari this year looks increasingly like an illusion. And that's pretty, pretty sad. Now, another gentleman checking into Heartbreak Hotel was Lance Stroll. He was DNF. In 8 races so far, he has scored points in only 2, finishing 10th in both. But here is the positive. His Heartbreak Hotel still has all the perks of a Ritz-Carlton. So please, don't cry for him, oh Canada. Also checking in was the entire engine department from Maranello. 4 of the 6 Ferrari-powered cars failed to finish, including both with the Prancing Horse logo on it. You know, if you have both cars dropping out fairly quickly, it's very hard to win Constructors' Championship like that. But we still have 14 races. You know, interesting, it's 14 races. Pretty soon we'll be saying, well, we have less than 10 races now. So this season is flying very fast. Now, this, of course, is a very big letdown for race fans who are looking for competition for the championship. What we have here is a replacement of one Uber era with another. Welcome to the beautiful world of Formula One. And sir, just to give you the Constructors' standings. Red Bull, 279 points. I wonder if people in Honda headquarters are asking, why did we leave Formula One? You know, if you're leading 279 points over Ferrari, 199, that's a lot of positive PR for you. And the one-time silver streak in the sky and on the track, Mercedes, 161 points. So this championship is pretty much, we know which way it's going. Any other thoughts you may have for the Grand Prix of Azerbaijan?
Well, it was a great Grand Prix, but it's too bad that we had four Ferraris fail in this Grand Prix. Ferrari needs to do something. They've really got to chop chop. I mean, it's going to be tough. And let's face it, you don't buy a Ferrari for reliability. What do you buy for reliability? A Honda. This isn't rocket science. I mean, even Honda beats Mercedes at reliability in the everyday world. So it is what it is. So they've got to fix that. And it's going to be tough because I think there's going to be future DNFs for Ferrari because they don't want to take away the ability of Leclerc starting on the front of the grid. So I have to admit, I'm sort of impressed with Ferrari turning the knob to 11 so early in the season, where Toto, when he had the upper hand, would use that knob, or I call it push to pass, very conservatively and very little bit at a time. So it's fascinating. But on that note, I'm exhausted, Dancer. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Merci, monsieur. We are going to your Shangri-La to start the Motorsports Mondial, 24 hours of Le Mans. Five in a row for Toyota. Winning drivers were Sebastian Buemi, Brendan Hartley, and Japanese driver Ryo Hirakawa. I believe this was his first attempt at Le Mans, so kudos to all these three. Sister car of Mike Conway, Kamui Kobayashi, and Jose Maria Lopez was second. This trio has an interesting sort of a F1 connection. Mike Conway was British F3 champion, and I saw him once at the Autosport show the year after he had won the British F3. He was on the stage. The way he walked, the way he talked, the way he was dressed, I said, man, this guy is going to be a F1 superstar. And that was his sort of background and pedigree at that time. But in GP2, or as we like to call Hapitos, what happened is, we have to borrow a phrase from Martin Brundle, he ran out of talent. Kamui, and then he raced here, he had a very vicious accident at an oval track, and that's when he gave up oval track racing, so we wish him well. That was Mike Conway. His teammate Kamui Kobayashi made it to F1 with Toyota and also raced for Sauber. While Jose Maria Lopez, also known as Pachito, was victim of Ken Anderson US F1 shenanigans. Third was Glickenhaus entry driven by Ryan Briscoe from Australia, Richard Westbrook and Frank Mayhew. Team owner Jim Glickenhaus is a movie producer and originally from New York. Apparently he is now on a war path against IMSA because the car he has for the category, they want him to sell 2,500 cars before he can race. And he's threatening to go and see Jacoby and Myers and see what happens. Now, sir, we go back to Baku for Formula 2. The sprint race on Saturday was a spicy affair. Man from Mumbai, Jahan Daruwala, dominated the race, but then came a couple of holy cautions late in the race. He was able to survive the first restart, but on the second restart, there was something fishy in Denmark, and Frederik Vesti slipped by. So the 20-year-old Danish racer gets his first win in Formula 2. Daruvala was second, and Kiwi Leanne Lawson was third. Westy is also in the good hands of Toto. Feature race Sunday, man from Estonia and Red Bull Junior Yuri Vips should have won this race easily, but he did a Maldonado late in the race and crashed into the wall all on his own. This allowed another Red Bull Junior, Dennis Hauger from Norway, to grab his first win in the series. Man from Boca Raton, Florida, Logan Sargeant finished second. He is an ex-karting world champion and in the Williams Driver Development Program. And now we go from Baku to beautiful, fast-flowing Road America Circuit, Elkhart Lake and Cheese Country in Wisconsin for IndyCar Acción. Alexander Rossi from Cali started from pole but had to settle for third place behind Marcus Ericsson, who won the Indy 500 last month, and race winner for Penske Racing, Mr. Joseph Newgarden, man from Henderson, Tennessee. Swiss Miss Simona DiSilvestro finished 21st, and she's driving for a team owned by a lady by the name of Miss Peretta, and last year they had some help from Roger Penske at the Indy 500. And now we come to All Rise, Le NASCAR. History is made in the hills of wine country of California. We have Machismo of Mexico in Daniel Suarez. He becomes the first driver born south of the border to win a NASCAR top-level race after taking victory at Sears Point, which is now called Sonoma Raceway. Back in the day, this track was known as Golden State Raceway. And Mr. Rogers, this was the first track I ever visited in the U.S., and I've seen a lot of races here. Believe it or not, including 6 laps, 4 of which were under caution, of the inaugural NASCAR race there. So, pretty interesting. And sir, you probably read this Super Mario Andretti as PO at Toto, because Toto is not interested in seeing an 11th team. Which is very, very strange. He is with Mercedes-Benz, a multi-billion corporation, one of the largest corporations on earth. And they are worried about dilution of $10 million if another team joins. Another team, we're not talking here Minardi or Osella. We are talking with the name of one of the most respected, accomplished family racing name. And I cannot believe that. And maybe he deserved Nando, that Nando is saying, hey, no rule changes. But this is very, very disappointing. They should be welcoming as political as Formula One. If you remember some years ago when Max Mosley was around, they were going to allow new teams. They allowed a team to Ken Anderson, but not to David Richards of Pro Drive, who has been so successful in rallying and sports car racing. And that's part of Formula One I really, really do not like one bit. Would you have any say on this, sir?
Well, not only has Toto been against Andretti coming into Formula One, but he's extremely disrespectful to a very nice family, almost to the level that it's become insulting. And that's why Mario is pissed off. Mario has paid his dues. He's an F1 world champion. Toto, you're not an F1 world champion. So, I don't know. I think this is strange, but I also think it's because they're Americans, and we don't need no another American team, even though Haas is sort of pseudo-American. I don't know. But Toto, this is disappointing for a lot of people, but we'll see what Mohamed Julayem has to say about it.
Okay, so some sad news. There were 5 fatalities at Isle of Man TT races, a very tragic weekend of racing at this famous and totally over-the-top crazy event. And fatalities included a father and son combo in a sidecar event, so that was very, very sad. Okay, sir, now on a totally different topic. The headline is Going Gay the Seb Way. Now, Seb was quoted as saying, perhaps that wouldn't have been the case in the past, but now I think a gay Formula One driver would be welcome, and rightly so, end quote. Now, Seb is a very intelligent and has a lot of interest in music and history of motorsports. And I think he knows that Formula One had a gay driver in the early 70s by the name of Mike Bottler. He was an interesting character. He was born in Cairo, Egypt. His first race was in his home Grand Prix in 1971, and that was, of course, the British Grand Prix. And his final race was at Watkins Glen in 1973. And he died of AIDS in California in 1988. And so that's what we have on that front. Anything else you would like to talk about, Mr. Rogers? The Canadian Grand Prix is this weekend, right?
I have no idea, Nasser. You know, some of us live in a cocoon, a bubble. I thought it was 2 weeks from now because with the logistics of getting everything back to where it needs to be, but I have not. Let me check the computer, Nasser. Let's see what we have.
I believe it's this weekend.
It is. June 19th. So in other words, we have to chop, chop, Nasser. No ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, that was a Sebastian Vettel song once upon a time, ding-a-ling, right?
My favorite. And I'm an Egyptian or something.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, remember he'd win and those days are over, Nas.
I will never forget when I saw him at DTM race, 2007, 2008. He really looked like he was already, I think it was in his first year of Formula One, and he was hanging in the Mercedes area, and he looked like a high school kid. He was so young, so boyish, and then when he was winning, he got this, you know, bangles thing going on, the Egyptian dance and all that, and then he became a bitter old man. And remember when he went off on Charlie Whiting, of all the people on Charlie Whiting? I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Now he's got a new agenda. I get the impression that he and Lewis now are just like, basically, when the party's over and he just lose interest in hanging around, he just want to get out. I think they have reached that stage. And it's very easy to understand that, especially if you're not winning.
Well, for me, the fun part is we're going to Canada. And for the U.S., I think Danica Patrick is going to be back in a nice, cute little outfit. And they're going to put extra padding where it needs to be done.
Well, I knew that was coming.
I'm just doing my job, sir. Just the facts.
Wouldn't it be something if a shoe is thrown while she's doing an interview? Oh, my God.
That could happen.
Yeah. That shoe in Montreal was classic.
So, who do you think's going to win?
The more races go since Australia, the higher the chances are for Charles Leclerc to win. And he is already the king of qualifying. But like they say in the song, you know, he has to look out not for the cheater, but for the hustler. And the hustler is, we all know who. First, he needs a reliable car. You know, as they say, to finish first, you have to first finish. So if he can finish, then he really needs a car. And it has nothing to do with it. He really needs a car that's about half a second faster. Because, you know, if you're 0.1, 0.2 faster than Max, that you can do one lap like that. But for 90 minutes of racing, Montreal, normally there will be a caution. Somebody will hit the wall of champions. So there will be issues. So if Max is down, it will give him an opportunity to come close to him. And once he's close, he can always pounce like a panther. I would like to see Charles Leclerc win. So there is this championship heats up and, you know, there's more spice in it. But I think it's going to be, I will not be surprised. Let's put it this way. I will be more surprised if Max does not win the race.
Excellent, Nas. Keep up the good work. I think Max is going to win this race. Well, it's fast and we'll hear about more bouncing and it's going to be wonderful. Russell is going to finish third and we'll see this all year long. And then Lewis's car will be sponsored by a chiropractor company.
Well, maybe they should get sponsorship from Bounce.
That's a good idea. Keep up the good work, Nas. We're running out of puns.
There you go.
Thank you. So why don't we just finish it now, Nas? Let's just kill it instead of letting it run around and bleed.
Kill it before it grows. Thank you for listening. Bye now.
Exactly. Good night.